Hello. The Legalised Cannabis Alliance was formed in 1999, and their first candidate was a local candidate who was Danny Tungate. We stood five candidates in Norwich in 2000, six candidates, and last year we stood, which is 2004, in the City Council, we stood 13 candidates. I don't know if you've all seen this, hopefully. And we made quite an impact. Now, the thing about local elections is, first of all, there's no deposit to pay. Secondly, the area that you have to cover and campaign in is much smaller. You can walk the area. Well, without too much problem, you can walk the area. Right? Thirdly, there is a local. You have to live locally. There is a residence qualification for standing for the local candidate, so they know they're dealing with local people. And thirdly, anything that creates interest in local elections and actually encourages people to go down and vote is something that the government and it supports, right? And that the electoral people involved in the electoral system supports. So the most important thing that we've found in local elections is you can go around and meet people and say, yeah, well, I would vote for you, but I'm not registered. Right, well, they modify the registering process so that anybody can register at any time, up to a certain time. We're running close to the deadline when it has to be closed, but whether or not the general election happens in May, the county elections definitely will on May the 7th. And the odds are that the general election will be happening at the same time because the government knows how difficult it is to get people to the polling booths and to vote. That's why they've introduced postal voting and other systems to try and encourage people to vote. Now, there have been predictions that this coming election is going to be something like the voting poll numbers could be down something to 50%. Well, as I've gathered in the past going around talking to people, that doesn't mean that 50% don't care or don't interest or aren't interested. What it means is a large proportion of those people, maybe 30%, are actually actively abstaining from the political party, from the political process, because they can't see a party that they want to support. Now, this is where minority parties come in, because if you can put a good case for them supporting you, they will vote for you. And this is what we want to get through. So I'm hoping that people who maybe would like to stand for Parliament, or but for one reason or another can't stretch or can't raise the deposit or the commitment of covering constituents, which are quite big. You've got 50,000, 60,000 votes in a constituency, which probably means 20,000, 30,000 households, were considering standing for the local election. Now, the thing is that the national parties have found that in order to win votes at the parliamentary level, you have to have a good ground base, which means you need a strong local support and preferably local representation. Now, it's not out of the question for an LCA candidate to win a local seat, because people do vote on whether they like you and whether they think you represent their interests. So the Greens in Norwich, for example, in 1999, we first did a candidate. We had a meeting in conjunction with the Greens, and, well, basically they were saying, don't stand against us. And we said, well, that's politics. You know, it's a bit like a football team saying, well, we don't need to play a football because we're better at football than you are. Why don't you just pretend we won? So, in fact, we did try and negotiate a system where if any of their candidates would actively put on their leaflet they would support the legalised cannabis, that we wouldn't stand against them, but that didn't actually work out. So, but the point about it is that since then, we've been standing candidates. At that time, they hadn't stood any candidates for 10 years. Now, they've been standing candidates every year, and they've now got four councillors in Norwich. In fact, they hold the balance of power in Norwich. So I believe that the fact the Legalised Cannabis Alliance got active was one of the things that encouraged the Greens to get active in Norwich in local politics. I estimate that for everybody who votes for the Legalised Cannabis Alliance, at least one other person will change their vote to a different party that they think is more sympathetic to the cannabis legalisation policy than the one they would have voted for otherwise. This has been indicated by some surprise election results. For example, in Southampton, where Derek Large was staying, Romsey, that was one of our early parliamentary candidates, and it was a surprise win for the Liberal Party. It was a safe Tory seat that went to the Liberal candidate. And the Liberal candidate did say that she thought the presence of an LCA candidate has swung enough votes to give her the seat. The other thing about it is that in 2000, when we took six candidates, was the year that the Norwich Council, which had been solidly Labour for about 50 years, started. The Labour Party lost a lot of ground, about five seats to the Liberals, and since then the Liberals have taken control of the Norwich Labour Party, the Labour Council. And as you know, the Liberals say that they support cannabis legalisation. And if you read their policies, it doesn't sound that different to ours. The only difference is they don't tend to publicise it, as is the Green Party. Their policies are similar to ours, but they don't publicise it. And we are actually going on that issue, which makes us, in that sense, a singular, or I prefer to say, a main issue party. However, I see Chris Ball is talking about single issue parties, so I'll raise a few points which he'll then have a chance to answer in his speech or argue against. I've had some difficulty when I'm putting stuff on the internet deciding whether things are a single issue or not, so I raised the issue of whether we should look at other issues and made a few suggestions. And what I can say is that what had been a rather inactive and slightly dull internet chat list suddenly became filled with people who had views about whether we should be discussing other issues or not. Most people said the same thing at the bottom, which is we don't change the policies. Now, the Legalised Cannabis Alliance Manifesto sets out the policies, written mostly by Alan some years ago, and this is basically a one-issue manifesto. However, if we're politicians, we go out and talk to people about what their interests are, they're going to raise other issues. And they're going to expect us to be able to make sensible and replies, and ones that hopefully show their interest at heart. So I would just like this to read through a few other issues and see what people's response are. I'm assuming that most people in this room would want world peace. I'm assuming that most people in this room want security for old people. I'm assuming most people in this room would like less crime, and that most people would like to see enough food for everybody, basically everybody on the planet. I think most people would like to see better economic conditions in the third world, and most people would like to see a cleaner environment and a healthy environment. And most people would like to see steps towards reducing global warming. Now, is there any policies there anybody disagrees with? Right. Thank you. Okay. Well, that was just the point I wanted to make. And as we're a bit ahead of time, I'm going to take the opportunity to overrun a little bit. And I'd just like to tell you about what I've been spending the last 3 days doing. I've been in London for the Royal Court of Justice in the Strand, and I've been present at an appeal hearing for six defendants. Three of them had used cannabis for personal use, cultivated cannabis for medical reasons. Two of them were running medical networks, and one of them was an assistant to somebody running a medical network. I don't know if you've ever been to an appeal court hearing or court hearing in general. Sometimes it's difficult to hear what's being said, and sometimes you think, well, really, they don't want you to hear that much. But I picked up quite a lot. Being this is the third hearing I've been to, so I was getting used to it, and I managed to get reasonably good sleep. Some of you have probably seen the reports of Ed Fitzgerald QC, who was leading the barristers and presented the overall case, raising the usual issues about medical cannabis. The counsel for the prosecution, who was a gentleman with an Indian name, and an older gentleman, and he didn't really seem to be that convinced by what he was saying, and he was coming out with issues, you know, like, one issue he mentioned was when it came to Tony Taylor, okay, saying the usual stuff about he wasn't qualified, and if he was allowed off, then anybody could set up a pharmacy and so on. I felt that in that sense, the case for the people who were running networks wasn't as well presented as it could have been. The point about it is that Tony and Jeff only supply to people who got letters from their doctors. They're in consultation with their doctors, and the doctors can only get them cannabis medicine or treat cannabis therapy by referring them to somebody like Tony Taylor and Jeff Ditchfield. And these people are recognised authorities on cannabis therapy, and Jeff Ditchfield, in fact, who was supposed to be here today, has addressed a body of doctors about the issue of cannabis use. So this is something that we've got to move forward on and look to campaign for licensing for people to be able to supply those in need. This is a similar situation to what they've got in the 11 states in America where cannabis medicine has been voted in by state referendum. By the second day, one felt that these three judges were kind of softening to it. They realised that they were being told that there was a lot of people who were in a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and that the side effects that they were getting from the national health medication they were being given were in some ways as unpleasant as the pain. And that's why they're using cannabis. But there is this issue of government policy. And on the second morning, there was a young Turk from the Attorney General's office arrived to more or less say, giving a legal reason, saying, you're not going to be allowed to allow a defence of necessity for medical cannabis use. This is what the hearing's about, to decide whether or not there is a case for defence of necessity for medical reasons of using cannabis. Now, if they don't allow it, and one of the leading barristers said, sounds like they'll vote against this when the hearing is finished. First of all, they said they wouldn't be in judgment for 3 weeks. If they don't allow it, they don't allow defence of necessity for medical cannabis use, then there will be, there at the moment there is 3 crimes for which a defence of necessity is not admissible. You can't claim a defence of necessity for 3 crimes, right? Murder, treason, attempted murder. So if they rule against this, there'll be a 4th, using cannabis for medical reasons. Now, if the government is seriously going forward with this, I mean, we've got to look at the implications for personal freedom, human rights, duty of care, and so on. And obviously we will have to start running a campaign to bring this to visit to their attention. The other thing is that the whole issue of defending cannabis cases we're going to have to change. Instead of going through the lawyers and the solicitors process, we're going to have to encourage people to go through and say, when they're asked if they, for, I mean, what's the point of being asked if they're guilty or not guilty? Because it won't be a relevant question. They will be shipped into the court and presumably told that the evidence shows that they're guilty. But I suggest that defendants actually ask the court if they can address the court. Some defendants go through a whole process and never even get a chance to talk to the court or the jury. And this is wrong. So if they're going to ship cannabis users, persecute them in this way, I think it's important that we take an opportunity to encourage people to actually stand up in court and be able to state what they want to say. There is a couple of other quick points I would make. One is about what I call the mitigation scenario. I've written an article about this for Vint Linden. Unfortunately, he hasn't published it. So I'll take the opportunity to tell you what I'm concerned about. This is that a large number of the... It's common practice for criminals, burglars, car thieves, and so on, to stand up and claim that they have a drugs problem in their defence. And their solicitor, their defence teams, often advise them to do this. Or they might say, have you ever taken any drugs? Well, I once smoked with cannabis. Oh, yes, you've got a drug problem. Right. Stand up to the judge and say, Your Honour, my client committed this crime because he has a drug problem. In fact, the drugs so affected his behaviour that he wasn't really aware of what he was doing. In fact, you might just as well say that it wasn't him who did it at all. He was hardly even really there. It was the drugs that did it. And so I suggest you let my client off with a life sentence and that you find a way of punishing people who are responsible for handling and supplying drugs. This is actually distorting the whole criminal justice system. It might be good for business of criminal lawyers, but it's not terribly good for our well-being. And I think that we want to be able to get across the message that things are, that we are a law-abiding, responsible society, and that we don't wish to take the rap for criminals who are lying to the court, deceiving the court, to making out that they have drug problems, which quite often they don't even have. Now, just before I go, I'd just like to introduce to you Oz. You want to stand up, Oz?
Yeah.
I met Oz today. I've heard of Oz. He comes from Birmingham. He's a member of the Rastafarian community. Now, I feel that it's important that we can liaise with the Rastafarian community and bring them further into the whole process of campaigning for our rights regarding